Well, good morning and welcome to the local spotlight here at WJBM radio station. This morning I have the pleasure of having with me Craig Hudson. Craig Hudson from State Farm. How are you, Craig?
Good. How are you this morning?
Very good. So, Craig, how long have you been living here in Jerseyville?
I was just thinking about that on my way over here. We moved here in 2001 when Hannah was about 3 months old. So
about 22 years.
Maybe 23 years coming up.
23 yep. years. Yes. And you are a family man.
Yeah. Yep. I guess so.
Yeah. How many girls you got? Four?
Four girls.
Who are those girls? Go through them for me.
Hannah's the oldest. She lives in Nashville, Tennessee now. She just graduated from Iowa. And then I've got Sally and Josie attending the University of Arkansas right now. And then Kate is a junior in high school.
Wow. Shoot.
So busy.
Yes. And then you're married to your lovely wife.
Sarah. Just celebrated our 25th anniversary.
25 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Where'd you guys meet?
College.
Yeah.
Kirksville, Missouri.
Yeah.
Northeast Missouri State.
What was your first date like? What'd you do on your first date, you and Sarah?
Best chicken sandwiches in Kirksville was at Bogey's.
Yeah.
Went and saw the movie Tombstone. I mean, love at first sight, I guess, after that.
Did you hold hands during the movie?
I don't think so. I don't think we held hands that I can remember.
What'd you meet her? You were like a freshman, sophomore?
Freshman, yep.
A freshman?
Yep. And met her at a party and...
It's been love ever since.
Love ever since. That's right. That's
right. You did good, son.
Yeah, I didn't do too bad. That's right.
And you grew up in Iowa.
Central Iowa. Yep.
How is Central Iowa compared to Illinois? Is there a difference? I mean, you got a lot of cornfields and stuff, too. But
That's right. No, we were, you know, kind of around Des Moines, so that was kind of our metro area. So we had a little bit of services there, but yeah, overall, I'd say very similar to.
Do you have any hills or anything in Iowa?
Not in the central part of the state. No, it was pretty flat. Yep. Yeah. So we didn't have the river type topography that you have, you know, or by the rivers and stuff. So, or more as you go east of here, you know, it gets a little more like that. It's Macoupin County type.
Now, of course, this is radio, and there's not, you know, video. Are you 6'10"?
No.
6'8"?
6'6". 6'6".
Oh, man.
Holy cow, 6'10"?
Oh my gosh. You always seem like you're like so much taller than me.
Well, it's plenty.
You got long arms, that's for damn sure. You're long and lanky.
Yeah, right.
I remember
the days we used to play a little basketball.
Yeah, we played basketball. I used to beat on you.
I know, it was tough.
I know, I could only reach your elbows.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, we had, you know, they don't do that anymore, but that was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun, I agree.
Sousnick Center.
Yep.
We have, was that 3-on-3
three
or 4-on-4?
Three.
Was it 4-on-4 or 3-on-3?
I want to say 3-on-3, but
yeah, I'm thinking,
I could be wrong.
I'm thinking it's 3-on-3.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
And they might still do it. We might have just got too old for it.
Maybe. We did get too old for it.
Yes.
I quit playing basketball about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But, so, did you play basketball in college?
Football.
You played football?
Football in college, yep.
All this time I thought you were a basketball player.
No, I mean, I love basketball, but I did play football in college.
Okay. What did you play?
I was an offensive lineman.
I'll be done.
Yeah. So I've slimmed down a little bit since then, but yeah, it was a good time.
Yeah.
Division II, you know, so we play Western Illinois is one of the bigger schools we played, you know, but normally we play Division II schools that are all over Missouri, you know, Northwest, Central, Southern, you know, that kind of stuff. But yeah, it was good competition.
Yeah. I mean, you're an athletic guy. You love sports.
Yeah.
And you're a little bit venturesome, even in your, as you've matured. Hey, so tell me about this hiking trip you took, like about a year ago or so, in the Appalachians.
A buddy of mine, Jeremy LaPlante, got me involved with trying to do part of the Appalachian Trail. So we did a week, did about 80 miles of camping and, you know, hiking 10 to 12 miles a day. We had some issues with some of our personnel that was in the group. So
how many guys went?
Four went and three returned. Oh. One guy had to jump off. He was a little older and was having some issues, and so he got off the trail. And
so you start at point A, and you just pack up everything you're going to take with you.
You got about 50 pounds in your backpack. And
you take off walking. Right. And is there signs along the way? How do you know where you're going?
It is marked pretty well. I mean, there's books that you can buy that talk about mile markers and what might be there, you know, or water stops, you know, which is basically just a trickle off the side of the mountain where you, you know, filter your own water, you know, fill up your own bottles and things like that. And, but yeah, as far as marked, it's well marked. I know there's definitely a path, you know.
And at night, so you typically get up at daylight?
Yeah, get up.
And walk till?
Pack it up. I mean, if you had.
How many hours a day would you walk? 10 hours?
Well, one day we did 20-some miles. We walked every bit of 12 hours that day. It was brutal. But normally, if you were going to do 10 to 12, even though it's some elevation, you know, if you still wanted to get after it, I'd say you could get done 6 hours. 6-8 hours, you could, you know, without just busting it all day long, you know. So,
and then sleep on a sleeping bag at night.
Yeah, sleeping bag at night, pitch a tent.
Gosh, I don't see how you did that.
And some places would have like a little shelter, like just a covered area with like a wood floor. And we weren't there during the busy time, so a lot of times if we got to those little shelters, we wouldn't even pitch a tent. We just put our sleeping bags out and sleep under that. You're supposed to hang your food up so you know the bears didn't get in, but we never did encounter any bears, so
that's good.
So yeah, that's probably good.
So you're glad you did it?
Yeah. I didn't want to go. I mean, some people do the whole thing. It takes 6 months, but
oh shoot,
you know, for me, 1 week sleeping on the ground, like you said, was brutal. That was the worst part, was the sleeping part.
And then you did that like 2 years ago, and then last year you did a bicycling across Iowa.
That's a little longer story, but we started Jeremy again was with me. Supposed to be a 7-day, about 500 miles this year. Same, but you basically pack your tent and a company takes it from point A to point B, and then you bike from point A to point B. Every little town that you stop in's got food, beer. It's basically a party on wheels. And day two of the trip, there was a slip and slide along the way, you know, a little watery. I thought, well, it was hot, so we did a little slip and slide. We'll end up messing up my knee a little bit on that, and I was able to make it to the next, basically stop for that night, but my knee swelled up and I ended up having to bow out.
Oh shoot.
Did for the rest of the trip.
Did the other guys go on?
I mean, there was probably this year, I mean, I think 30,000 people did this bike ride. Jeremy was my partner, but he ended up quitting with me. He basically said, oh, if you're not finishing, he did one more day, and then we got picked up and came home.
30,000 people?
I'd say this year was their 50th anniversary, and it was a record year. They had a ton. I mean, it was every time you got to town, you'd walk your bike. It was just wall-to-wall people, and, you know. Wow. So I've already agreed to sign up to do it this year since I wasn't able to complete it last year because of my knee issue. And so we're going to try to stay away from the slip and slides this year. And
Watch yourself.
So but it's a lot of fun. I mean, there's work involved, but like I said, it'd be like riding from Fieldon to Jerseyville. You'd stop in Jerseyville, you'd get a drink, maybe a bite to eat, then you'd get back on your bike and you'd ride to Shipman. You know, same thing. You'd get off your bike, maybe have a beer, get a bite to eat, go on to the next town, and the next. By the end of the day, you might have done 80 miles, you know.
Okay. So, well, and there's this other thing I heard that you're doing, you know.
Where are you talking to? Who are you?
Oh, it's on the street. I mean, I think I heard this in the barbershop. How about this thing? These ice baths. Tell me about that.
Well, I've been reading some stuff. I mean, I don't eat real well, so I try to, you know, come up, you know, I try to do exercises and stuff, and I don't know if the kids got me turned on or, you know, Instagram or something, and talk about these ice baths where you do these polar plunges or whatever and soak in, you know, ice water basically. So I was reading some stuff and watching some videos. So I thought, yeah, let's give it a shot. So I got an old deep freeze and I'll plug it in for half a day, get it down to about 40, sit in it for.
So you get a deep freeze, you fill it with water?
Plug it in and just get that water. I mean, sometimes it'll ice over. You had to break it open a little bit, but that water will be anywhere from 38 to 42. And you
get in it?
You get in it.
And how long do you stay in it?
Stuff I've read says you only need to do about 11 to 12 minutes a week, but I thought, well, if a little's good, more's better, so I was up to like 6 minutes a day, and then I did start backing it down, because one time I thought I was getting a little frostbite, so I didn't, but, I mean, I don't know, if you go on and do some research, I mean,
what's it
good
do for
inflammation,
you,
you know, they talk about brown fat helping that production of brown fat, which is a better fat that helps with metabolism and things like that. So I don't know if you watch any things with the professional athletes. Sometimes they'll do that as a recovery thing, you know, and get in those ice baths. Not that I'm equating that to that, but if you're working out, sometimes it's nice to get in there and, you know, soak a little bit. But it's tough, I will say. It takes some getting used to, for sure.
Okay, so you grew up in Iowa. You go to college in Northwestern?
Kirksville,
yeah.
Northeast, yeah.
Okay, so what'd you get a degree in?
Mathematics, minor in statistics, yep.
And so what was your first job?
So I started with State Farm in Bloomington. I worked at the headquarters up there. I graduated in 98 from college. They're ramping up for, I don't know if you remember Y2K, when they thought all the computers were going to collapse.
Yes.
So they were basically hiring anybody that they thought they could train for computers. So I got a job in kind of the computer systems up at State Farm, kind of trying to help prepare for Y2K that never did amount to anything. So it was luckily.
So from there, eventually you kind of
found out about the State Farm agency program. And
did you work any other?
Nope. That was it.
I mean, but Jerseyville is your first place that you came to?
I lived in Bloomington for about 3 years,
right
out of college.
Right.
And then with the program with State Farm, they would tell you about opportunities that would open up, and we were trying to get closer to family. You know, my wife's family is from Verdon area.
And then,
you know, with mine being Central Iowa, so I was looking for, when I got into the program, I was looking for opportunities closer to family. So this one opened up, and it kind of fit what we were looking for, a small town with an opportunity. And it was a good fit. And, so we're about 45 minutes from my wife's family. So, it worked out real well.
And you fit well into Jerseyville.
I tell you, it's been a good match.
It has.
Can't complain.
So, what do you like about State Farm, you yourself, about the company?
You know, I do think it's got Midwestern values. You know, I mean, it's headquartered in Bloomington, and I do feel like that comes through. It was started with a farmer, and that, you know, he was trying to offer rates to farmers. He thought it was a better risk class than just your overall people, and that's how it started. And then he just expanded to be the number one, you know, car and home insurer in the nation. But I think it is the values that, you know, that Midwest values that allowed it to prosper like it has.
Yeah. And that is that your forte in State Farm?
Definitely.
Home and auto.
Yeah, home and autos are kind of bread and butter for sure. You know, we offer life insurance, business insurance, you know, farm insurance, you know, all that stuff. But that's definitely, you know, like I said, that's our number one. And if you see any of the commercials on TV now, which we do quite a bit, you know, that's definitely where we're emphasizing, you know.
Well, back in the day, years ago, when I did construction, I did a lot of insurance work. Mm-hmm. I always liked working with State Farm. They're very professional. They really try to take care of their clients, which is nice.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. And that's kind of nice to be an extension of that.
Everything's just kind of cut and dried,
right.
You know.
Right.
If you have issues that are out of ordinary, they'll work with you on it to keep everybody happy.
Yeah.
It seems like...
They've made good reputation. So the nice thing about being a State Farm agent is you generally don't have to sell your name, right? If you say State Farm, people know who you are. You know, then they got to get to know the agent, of course. But the State Farm kind of isn't a good established brand. So that helps, you know, as far as being if I had to sell insurance, I think it's a leg up for us that, you know, we have a good reputation and people know and for the most part trust State Farm, and it allows us at least a foot in the door, you know, to meet people and whatnot.
Now, did you take someone's place?
Yes. So Jeff Onken, that was a agent here for about 6 or 7 years, and then he took over for Gene Prosser, which had been here for a long time prior to that.
That's what I was thinking, Gene Prosser.
Yeah, so there was a interim there for, I think Jeff was here for 6 or 7 years, I believe.
Yes. So when are you going to start dressing like Gene Prosser?
I've heard lots of stories about Gene. I didn't get to know Gene real well, but I heard he was a little eccentric, maybe. If that's the right word.
Well, he was kind of maybe eccentric. That's fine. Him and my dad were really good friends.
Okay.
And my dad was just the opposite of him.
Uh-huh.
My dad was very, you know, very
conservative.
Civil.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But they were been great buddies through high school. And actually, I was just talking with Gene's son-in-law, Tom Gettin, today, in fact. And he said the reason, you know, Gene would wear like green pants and a yellow shirt and a high-heeled shoes and boots and, he'd have chains with medallions on and all this stuff and a hat, you know, all this stuff. And one day, I guess Tom said, Gene, why do you dress like that, you know? And Gene says, well, he goes, I dress like that so I can be noticed. He goes, if you and I walk into a room, who do you think they're going to remember, you or me?
That's a good point.
It's, you know, something for you to consider.
I might have to take a look at that. Yeah. I had buddies that made fun of me when I told them I was going to be a State Farm agent, like when I was going to start wearing plaid pants, because, you know, I think that was maybe a, you know, stigma or, you know, kind of a reputation of the insurance guys, you know, so.
Yeah, he drove a Model T car that was really had a Volkswagen engine in it, but it looked great. It was but it was a replica. He was a great guy.
Yeah.
Great guy.
Yeah.
And I knew him real well.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I actually visited him right before he passed away
at
his home. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And there's another State Farm agent in town.
Yeah, yeah. We don't need to mention him on the radio. Okay. No, I'm joking. Denny and I were good friends.
I know. Denny's a great guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been around a long time. I mean, he's been... Oh, shoot, I don't know. He's probably getting 35 years, I'd assume, probably as an agent. At least 30, I would say.
I guess, is that the way State Farm figures? They just look at the population, what an agent can handle and take care of?
Right, you know? Right. I mean, it's changing a little bit. I mean, some of these new agents, that you know, they're branching out. Before it was more, I would say, regional or location. You know, you wrote kind of in your zip code and around those. You know, now we're licensed in Missouri. You know, I'm licensed in Missouri. I know agents that are licensed in four or five states. Uh-huh. So they're doing a lot of more business, you know, just electronically, online, over the phone, you know, with the capabilities that we have now, we're not limited to face-to-face meetings anymore. So you're able to service a lot, you know, wider.
Do you have anybody working under you selling insurance or just you?
No, I have two fully licensed people that work for me.
Oh, who's
Jessica
that?
Wade and Peggy Portwood. Both work, and they're both licensed. And so we're, like I said, we're licensed in Illinois and Missouri. So we don't write a ton of Missouri business, but you know, it's nice when somebody moves or if they buy a house at the Lake of the Ozarks or something like that, we can still help them out.
So do you have anybody else in your office helping you?
Just the three of us.
Just the three of you?
Yep. And that works out pretty well, you know, so.
Yeah. How many more years you got under your belt? How old are you?
Well, I'm just on not quite 50 yet, so I've got a few years.
You're a youngster.
I got a few years left. I might look older than I am, but I'm only 49. So, yeah, I mean, if I work, you know, till at least 65, I mean, I got 15, 16 years left. But
well, now will you stay here for the next 15 years?
I would.
I mean, I don't know if they moved you around.
No, I wouldn't. No, I would not move. I mean, you'd have to almost apply for an exception if you had a family issue and you wanted to move back to Iowa, for example, or something like, hey, my dad needs help or something. But normally people know you don't generally move around unless you're going to go back to the company or something like that. So now I plan on being here until I retire, and then we'll see where we go from there. But like I said, we got a few years left.
Well, do you have any – you got a pitch you want to make to our listeners out there? how you could take care of them?
Well, I know – I will say insurance rates in general since COVID got over have been on the uptick, meaning, you know, rates across the industry have been, you know, increasing.
Well, everything's went up.
I know.
I mean, it's, replacement costs.
Insurance is no different.
Labor's went up.
You know, it's
all materials went
crazy, you know. Yeah. So I would say if you're in the market, yeah, give us a call because we have found that rates from one company to the next, you know, just because you feel like, oh, they're all the same, it's not, you know, we might be able to help people out, you know, because it is an expensive thing. I mean, insurance is expensive. And I do feel like, you know, with having the license, you know, people in my office, we do a nice job following up with folks, especially at claim time, because that's the worst time, right? I mean, that's when your insurance is worth something. I mean, you pay all those premiums and then you hit a deer or, you know, whatever, you know, and having somebody that you can call that, because if you just go through claims, it's an 800 number just like any other person. But at least with us, you know, you can call our office and say, hey, you know, I need some help with this, and we can help, you know, track that down. So
here's a question I have. All right. What do you tell people when they're traveling and they need a rental car? Do they need to get the insurance from the rental company, or will their insurance cover them on a rental car?
So our insurance will extend, you know, so if you're insured with State Farm and you go rent a car, your policy would extend with the coverages that you have, you know. So if you have coverage for deer hits or collision coverage,
it will extend to that rental car.
If you don't have that kind of coverage, then, you know, then there are some things you'd have to take into account. If you had just liability on your vehicle, for example, and you decide to rent, you know, we're not going to extend collision coverage to that one. So, but yeah, for the most part, it extends, you know, so you don't have to buy it. Now, if you travel overseas and stuff, that does not apply. So I don't want to get into all the details, but generally, if you're traveling in the United States and you're renting a car, then yes, you don't need to buy the travel insurance. But I would say check with your agent before, just in case, you know, your individual policy, you know, depends on the coverage and things that you carry. But
yeah, well,
so, well, I have one question for you, because you told me you were doing a 7-day cleanse.
Oh, yes.
And I don't know if, you know, and I'll put you on the spot now. Is that allowed?
Now, wait a minute. You have your own radio station.
We'll take care of that. I will tell you about the cleanse.
I think you ought to try the cleanse.
Well, that's what I'm asking. Yeah. It's getting close to the first year. I always like to kind of go on a diet after the first of the year. You know, I'm putting on some weight.
Well, actually, Brenda, she's had trouble with her stomach, you know, just whatever. And in her family, there's a lot of gallbladder, mm-hmm. you know, stuff. And she reads books. And then she decided that she wanted to go on a cleanse. And of course, that means I got to go on a cleanse too.
That's right. That's right.
And basically, it's about 9 days.
Ooh.
Yeah. And the first, and it's a liver and gallbladder cleanse where no meat, only fruits and vegetables, water, and you have to drink a special Epsom salts mixture of water, like a 3 quarts of that a day. And it's, you know what, though?
How was the results? You don't have to tell me the exact details, but how'd you feel?
Felt really good. But the thing was, too, is you were on a certain diet, but I never got hungry.
Yeah.
You know, we would always had plenty to eat. I could eat as much as I wanted, but I actually lost 10 pounds.
I believe it.
And I did feel good afterwards. But it's behind me now.
Okay. Okay.
It's behind me. So I like that. I feel good, you know?
Good.
Yeah. I think I know you'll probably want to do one now.
I've read about it. I've thought about them from time to time. I've done some fasting and things. So a cleanse intrigues me a little bit.
Yeah. It makes you appreciate good food.
Yeah, I would bet. I bet. Yeah, it does. You know? Yeah. And I'm definitely on a feeding frenzy lately. I tell you, these holidays.
Oh, my gosh.
Tough.
All the cookies and cakes and stuff, I tell you.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, Craig, if you don't have anything else to add, we'll wrap this up.
I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, love it. Love it. Take care, my friend.
Thanks a lot.